Fasten your seatbelts because the room dividers are back on Marawa Sports Worldwide. And tonight we're going to be bringing you raw passion, sharp analysis, unfiltered rugby truth. And joining me in studio, none other than Thando Manana, former SA under 23, and also a junior Bok and a Springbok flank who knows the game from the trenches, and the man with the pen that never misses. That's Mike Greenaway, independent media rugby writer and also author of The Fireside Springbok. And together, we're going to be dissecting the Springbok women's emphatic display, also breaking down the Bok men's weekend performance and looking ahead now to the fiery clashes. As you spoke to Brad about just a few minutes ago, they will be fiery, those clashes that await on the international stage. And expect fireworks, ladies and gentlemen. Expect honesty. Expect the game to be laid bare. This is The Room Dividers. And on the first edition and episode of it, let me welcome Mike Greenaway. As I was saying off air, good to see you.
Yeah, good evening. Good to be in the studio. And how's it to all the listeners out there?
Feeling good?
Yeah, great. And yeah, much better. Springboks are back in the saddle. Russie's on the horse. It's not quite galloping as fluently as it would like.
Yeah.
But it is. They are up and riding. And yeah, I think they're in actually a good place. If you want to go to New Zealand, you want to be going on the back of a win, and you want to have your feet firmly on the ground when you land in Auckland. And that is certainly the case with a Springbok team that hasn't had its own way against the Wallabies, as we well know.
Would you say confident enough, though? Because a lot of people are saying still experimental.
Yeah, so really what we've got to look at here is a bigger picture with Russie. And that bigger picture we mustn't ever forget is 2027, defending that the World Cup for a third time. Absolute world history, that would be. No one's ever done it before. So he always has that one eye on that World Cup. And that is why we've seen so many changes in the Springbok teams. I mean, he's changed. We've had six games. There's been an average of 10 changes for every single starting lineup this year. So when you have that, it comes at a cost. Rotation comes at a cost. And that means generally a lack of cohesion, a lack of momentum. And that has we've seen that. We've seen that. We saw that at Ellis Park, again in Cape Town. So the Boks are still finding their feet as a combination. But I think what we're going to see now is Russie's going to settle down on a team. He always said that 2025, 2 years out from the World Cup, was when he would do much of his rotation. He would get to know which players are going to go all the way to 2027 and who are going to fall by the wayside. And I think he's got a good idea. And, of course, also bringing in newcomers. So now as well, what is really important is the Springboks are going to New Zealand battle-hardened, and they were not going into that series against the Wallabies. I mean, Russie himself said before the Wallabies arrived, we're going to find out, are they battle-hardened off the British and Irish lines, or are they punch drunk? Are they going to come here deflated? Well, we saw that certainly wasn't the case. And the Boks were underdone. Let's not kid ourselves. You know, those four matches of the incoming series, I wouldn't say they didn't break a sweat, the Springboks, but they weren't really pushed too hard. And then, of course, they started at Ellis Park. And, I mean, that first 20 minutes was some of the most sublime rugby I've ever seen from the Springboks in my 30 years of covering them. Even Joe Schmidt, the Wallabies coach, said it was faultless, it was perfect. And then, of course, what happened is they lost their structure, lost their focus. If I can use cricket parlance, they were trying to hit sixes off every ball. But
which is impossible.
Test match rugby is not T20 cricket. And then what we saw in Cape Town was a much more pragmatic approach. I mean, they kicked 36 times in Cape Town. They kicked 17 times in Joburg. So really what Russie will want now is a combination of that 20 minutes of sublime attacking rugby in Joburg. Combine that with that more conservative, pragmatic approach where they pace themselves through a game and they don't run themselves off their feet and after 20 minutes.
Yeah, I love the word pragmatic because that's exactly what he instilled. And with bringing Andre Pollard to stabilize, he goes back to the so-called old guard as well, the tried and tested, as they always call it in rugby or many sport. Mr. Manana has been listening in as we welcome you, sir. Officially, welcome to the show. Good to have you as part of the Room Dividers, the 2025 version.
Hey, I haven't seen you. You look skinnier than I last saw you. Good to be back on your show.
I know. Jeez, we're trying to be like you, sir.
When are you growing some beard, Rob? You need to grow some beard, man.
When Mike does, then I will too. Good to have you, sir.
Yeah. Look, Rob, some nice input from Mike. And I'm quite in agreement. I think also, first and foremost, we have to say we held our own when it was needed in Cape Town. And also, we've got to understand that we in Johannesburg, everything just fell down past the 18 minutes. We capitulated to unseen territory. I think the coach himself, if he slept on that Saturday, then he is really one man that can take a sleep after getting 38-0 against an Australian side. And they've never done that post-1994. But you spoke about Henry Pollard. People have to understand Henry Pollard is 31 years old. Mm. He's won back-to-back World Cups. You can't buy that experience. And it was a good thing to have him. But also what's important is one would want to see the cohesion from the type of game that they want to play. They want to assert themselves too. Remember, most of these rugby players are in their late 30s as well, sure, by 2027 in Australia. So the experience has got to have that youth exuberance. Mm. So Rassi has to find that. I'm quite happy to see Ethan Hooker going with the team. One really looks forward to seeing that youngster setting up things alight if given the opportunity. But also, I think what's also very important is the South Africa need to reassert themselves. We've only lost one, Rob. I think people are just jumping out of their seat. We've lost one game. We needed that drop. Okay? We needed that drop just to tell us that we have to go back to ground zero. Mm-hmm. We have to start building. And we didn't have the greatest of preparation. We played an Italian side. We played a Barbarian side. We played a Georgian side. We had four squads. I mean, there was so much made in the social media on how many teams we can put up against any team. But reality, South Africa has struck. We need a consistent team. We've got quite a number of games that are waiting for us. And if we don't do, Rob, it was for me good to see that we started to get the mongrel effect in Cape Town. We were bullied in Johannesburg. I've never seen a Springbok team bullied in close phases, first channel, wider channels. And that's what Australia did. On top of that, they played with such pace. And we looked fatigued. Now, if a team has been together since June, late June, mid-June, to be fatigued, then there's a problem. So they need to make sure that when they go down to New Zealand, they have another week, they have to make sure that the bodies are well rested, their mind is worked on, because next week New Zealand is going to come to a stop. Auckland is going to be awaiting for the biggest test ever in the year. And also what's important is the rugby champs is well and alive, thanks to Argentina for beating New Zealand in Argentina.
I mean, that was an incredible game, though. But I wanted to get why, and can we avoid what we saw in that opening 18? Well, what we saw post the 18 minutes at Ellis Park. Everybody marvels at what happened in the opening stages. So with both of the knowledge that you gentlemen have, and before the break, how then do we avoid? I mean, you mentioned the age thing, and I'm saying, yes, we do have guys like Scribbledan in Bonambi, 34, Mostert, who's 34, Mapimpi, 35, Reinach, who's 35, Koch, who's 35, I think Kwach as well, 32. You know, he still might for the next World Cup. So given those dynamics, how important is it? Does it factor in, or does he just want to have a winning momentum post-New Zealand and then start to mix up the squad after that?
Yeah, so Rassie is on record as saying we're not abandoning what happened in that first 20 minutes. We've banked that. And Tony Brown is doing magnificent things in growing the attack. But we've just got to learn to pace ourselves. And I'll never forget Tom Wright, a couple of days before that game at Ellis Park, he was saying, he was asked about the altitude factor, and he said, we've got to pace ourselves. We can't just attack and attack and attack. And here was the Springboks. They're the home team.
Yeah, they have to attack.
And they forgot the most important thing. Yeah. It's at Ellis Park, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah.
So then the Springboks kind of had to go to the other extreme to get back to winning. Mm. So like I was saying earlier, what Rassie would want is an amalgamation of that that how they've grown in the attack under Tony Brown, but also just staying within their structures, staying within their system. There's the old saying, you earn the right to go wide. In other words, you before you start launching those attacks out wide, you have your forwards going through the phases and just putting pressure on the defence. And then that means you're not throwing those Hail Mary passes out, which the Aussies plucked out of the air and scored in Ellis Park like 14 points in 3 minutes or something. So it's to keep that adventurous approach, but just temper it with a bit of sense. Yeah, just sort of keep your feet on the ground. And we saw how Hundre controlled that beautifully in Cape Town. And look, I know a lot of people kind of use Marnie Lubbock as a scapegoat in after the Joburg
test. But is that
test.
Fair, though? I mean, he comes under fire for kicks.
Yeah.
But then obviously he does more than that. I think South Africans know that he's not just about kicking.
No.
But when the points do matter, then they look at him and then they compare the 100% kick rate that 100 Pollard has.
Very unfair that he gets the criticism he does. It's really important that Rassie grows his options at fly half. I mean, you can't just bank on a Hundre or bank on a Marnie or a Sasha Feinberg and Gomazulu or whoever. You've got to have 3 or 4 fly halves because injuries can happen, and quite often in rugby they happen like in a sequence.
Yeah.
I mean, you like look at number 8. We're suddenly down 3 or 4 number 8s. So he's got to give – you can't just stick with Hundre or just stick with Marnie. He's got to
– So what then becomes the solution, Thando Manana? Because Mike's raising a very critical point. Kicking is a game that we've mastered for many a year. Mm. I don't have to even go back to your Nasboeta days, but do you find ourselves in a mini-crisis as far as that is concerned?
No, Rob. You can't. We can't say that as South Africans.
Mm.
What I think – South Africans need to understand is players make mistake on the field. Visa costed us 6 games. Mike speaks about the number 8s that we're missing.
Yes.
We're not talking about the discipline. Let's also involve discipline. So Marnie, yes, the game swung when they had the intercept. The game swung. He's got to take accountability for that. He's not a bad player, but that's coachable. That we got too much excited. We wanted to let the ball do the talking. And we actually wore different jumpers to what we normally know. We didn't really pin them back. We wanted to play everything. We wanted to bounce them off the field. And that didn't happen. So I'm of the view, in terms of that position, we actually have quite gifted players. The junior Springbok flyer of Moyo.
Yes.
Boy from Cairns. He's the next Hundre Pollard, in my opinion. He's only under 20, Rob. He's got to be looked at in... And Rassie will do that. He's at the Sharks now. Mike will know him and he will know what he possesses on that. So there's quite a very good fly halves that we do have in the system. The only thing for us now is when do we really settle in for combinations? Combination play a critical role. Is a Grant Williams sort of hand in glove with Hundre Pollard? Because he's quite quick. He's not a technical scrum half. Are we selecting then players in different roles of the team because there was a panic that South African had that we've also got to look at. But also what is nice about it is they've had enough time to look at what Australia did to them. I mean, Rob, quite interesting is South Africa had 96 carries in Cape Town to Australia's 100 carries. And then another thing that sort of baffles mine is the turnover. They had more turnovers than us. So everything is coachable in this game of ours. But it's just a matter of for us to have the right combination. We're going to play Argentina in London. We're going to pay them back in Durban. And it might be that the rugby champs has decided in the last weekend of this competition. I'm happy to see New Zealand themselves sort of not having the right captain leading them. That also works in our favor, because I think from a tactical point of view, we will really certainly look into that, that they don't really have Addis Avia as their captain who will really be inspirational. They have someone who's out of form leading them. And also, I think for me, what's important for South Africa is we've got to watch our centers. We're quite in a crisis mode when you look at something happens to Dialinda or something happens to Jesse Creel, who then comes in there. We've not really tested that. We've got Andre Esterhazen, who sometimes plays flank and then goes back to being a center. We've got to have a formidable back line to take us through. We've got the forwards. I think also with Sia being past fit, that will certainly help, because we missed his leadership after that halftime in Ellis Park.
All right, big questions to be answered, to be part of the conversation. As I said, Mike and Tando are here, and lots of voice notes that are coming through. It is 060-708-0484, 060-708-0484. Get the conversation going. 011-883-8947.
Hashtag MSW live now on 947 Vuma FM, Rise FM, and Soweto Live at the same time. Hashtag MSW.
MP.
Dividing public opinion.
Are they empowering?
And setting the rugby agenda.
MP.
Do not forget where your history, South Africa, is. The enemy's desire is to try and erase it.
Welcome. You're with The Room Dividers.
Yeah, you've definitely come to the right place. It is The Room Dividers on the 26th of August, 2025. Very proud partnership that we're kicking off today, and love the reaction that's coming through. Going to play some of those WhatsApp voice notes in a second. Mike Greenaway, independent media rugby writer and author of a book on Springbok history, The Fireside Springbok. Also, Tando Manana, the former SA Under-23 junior Bok and Springbok flank, is also tucked away nicely here in studio.
Evening, Tarop. Luandile Makibi from Kailami. Tetai, welcome back to The Room Dividers. Just a quick one from me. I agree that with the box, we need to find a balance between the two games that we showed. So we can start strongly, but then between the 20th to the 60th minute, where we can start now prioritizing territory and kicking a little bit more to allow the opposition to make mistakes off of our contestables. And then from the last 20, we finish off strong again. And then that's where now we can open up the game slightly more. But that intensity, and most importantly for me, I think the breakdown, what we do on the breakdown will win us the game against New Zealand. As far as the ladies are concerned, that pack of forwards is, should front up on Sunday. I do expect them. I do believe that they can win against Italy. We've lost the two previous games against them, but we should win this one. And I also do expect then for players like your Nadine and your Brandre Dolph now to start showing off their skills. No Zintle out at outside center and Ayanda Malinga. Then once the forwards have laid that platform, but all the best to them.
Well, thank you so much indeed, bringing some insights into the conversation. Maybe, gentlemen, the part that we didn't touch on, Eben Etzebeth and the kind of impact that he had. I mean, what does he normally bring, whether he's coming off impact or starts a game? We saw him down in Cape Town as well. What do you make of his overall play? I mean, I can touch on a couple of players. Oxenchair, could touch on Cheslin Colby, but just Eben himself.
Rob, let's not look at Eben for the Cape Town test match. Let's look at him at Ellis Park. Despite the cookie crumbling at Ellis Park, he managed to have 15 tackles on his own on the day. He was the highest tackler on the day. Two, he was chasing all those balls and making sure that there's continuity in play of the game. So therefore, we are able to get the ball safe and the ball goes out. So therefore, for me, he's quite a colossus type of a player that you need in your team. It was maybe a tactic that they have him on the bench, or that we finish this time stronger and rather start with him. So I think he was not omitted, because he was one of the outstanding players in Johannesburg. But in Cape Town, it was just a tactic. And we mustn't take the fact that Australia were always within the game, Rob. If you look back on the 68th minute, Mike, if they converted, O'Connor converted that try, they would have been leading 23-22, and the pressure is on. That's when you need a Centurion Bok to be within the team to finish off. Two, We look to his leadership. He's got this abrasive leadership style in the team that he gets involved, but he gives you till also to play the full 80 minutes. He's quite a player that you can't leave out of the team. Obviously, you've got guys like Ruan Norik here. They've got a V8 engine that they can play the full 80, but they're just all over. He just brings that abrasiveness to lead the team. That's what Luet is doing as well. So we kept them on the bench so that they finish off stronger, so that we don't get bullied this time around. So that was clear instruction. Two, Rob, you've got to understand, in Ellis Park, we lost a lot of lineouts. Let's also be saying. Sure. But if you look tactically on Saturday, we played everything up front, which is what you do. When you don't win it at the back, you go back to basics. You come in front, throw in front, secure the ball first, and then move with it. And also, if you looked at the mistake, that mistake was made by Kellaway at the end with 6 minutes to go. He made the mistake, knocked the ball inside their 22. That's where the Springboks, very dangerous. They wait for you to make that mistake, and they pounced, and he scored that try on the line. So for me, overall, is that he was good enough, one of the outstanding players, but in Cape Town, he also shone when he came back in the second half.
I want Mike to come in here, though, because, I mean, here's one player that you would have watched very closely. I know you just recently moved up to Joburg again, but down in Durban, down in KZN, what he brings to the Bok team overall, whether on the bench, I think both Ox and Eben.
Yeah, so I absolutely was a tactic with Eben and Lurt to close the game out after what happened at Ellis Park. Eben was just immense. But he's equally immense when he starts. And there was quite a nice throwaway line from Russie Erasmus in the press conference after Cape Town, where a prominent journalist said to him, "Well, Eben was so good off the bench. Are you seeing now a future for Eben in that role?" And Russie kind of like grimaced and then smiled and said, "I tell you what, I'll do you a favor. I won't tell Eben that you said he's a bench player." Yeah, look, I mean, an Oxen Chair, another one, an absolute belter in Cape Town. I thought, he spoke after Ellis Park, and you could see he took it very personally, that loss. I think he even went off the chocolate caramel cake for a week.
Which he needed again.
So guys like Ox and Eben, they are equally good whether they start or they finish, and they are amongst Russie's key players.
Yeah. I think Tate McDermott will know more about Ox than at any other stage in his life, eh?
Good evening, Rob. Good evening to your guests in the studio, and always good evening to the MSW shareholders. Speaking to Ryan here in the Western Cape. My question is, there was an article in the Sunday newspapers where the chairperson, the organizing committee for Cricket World Cup 2027, Trevor Manuel, mentioned that there is a clash of calendars between the Rugby World Cup and the Cricket World Cup, November, October 2027, and we need to have a discussion regarding that debate, you know. And I haven't heard it on mainstream media, your radio as yet, that discussion. How will it do to accommodate both? Will the one be moved, et cetera, et cetera? And I will hear your views. If you can pose it to Tando, if you don't mind, to answer it. Okay, thank you, bye.
Yeah, thank you so much. I mean, Trevor Manuel, with the announcement of the LOC, is one of the individuals that we are aiming to get into the studio so that we can chat more about him. And that included maybe either Mike or Tando will handle that in a second.
Good evening, Mr. Rob. It's Wolfgang here. And good evening to the MSW shareholders. Good evening to the room dividers. I'm very, very excited. I just want to pose this one question. I just want to find out from the two gentlemen, despite there being a shaky performance from the Springboks looking ahead into a very tough game, there must have been a couple of things that they're not happy about. What can the Springboks do to beef up their squad and to ensure that their performance against New Zealand is even better than their recent performances against Australia? And number two, will the absence of Asena Tintabaganye be very key, or do they have backups? And as far as the box squad is concerned, that's what I want to find out from your guests over there. Great, as always. Thanks.
Thanks, Olivalanga. A variety of questions. Mike, you on a bite?
Yeah, just on what the box need to get right, what we would have learned there. you know, before the Wallabies arrived in South Africa, I think few people would have predicted that they would have gone home with five rugby championship points to the Springboks' four, and that they would have outscored the Springboks 9-6 across the two games. And in that Cape Town match, there were six clean line breaks by the Wallabies. So there immediately is a big alarm bell going off. 9 tries conceded against 2 games for the Springboks. That's unheard of. They're normally extremely miserly on defense, yet the Aussies were able to carve them up quite easily. And I mean, they scored 9 tries, but there were a whole lot more line breaks. So they've got to sort out their defense. And a lot of those line breaks came from quick turnovers at breakdowns. So you can sort of, if you can shut out those line breaks by cleaning up your breakdowns. And I think that was probably the biggest area of concern. And look, they weren't helped by the fact that they had injuries quite often in those games. I mean, losing Peter Steff and Sia Kulisi in Joburg, suddenly their breakdown work fell apart after being really good in the first 20. So sort out those line breaks, and you can do it by sorting out the breakdown to a larger degree.
Right. I don't want to leave out our women, gentlemen. We've got 2 minutes left, so I've got a quick question, and then I'll pose it to you.
Welcome back, the Room Dividers. Zet to my mind. Yeah. So our Bok women, they won against Brazil 66-6, which to me, it is 666. 666 is the omen. So I want to know from you, is that good luck or bad luck? Welcome back. My Room Dividers, my daughter.
Hey, Jericho, thank you so much, man. I think the excitement is really palpable here in studio. Tando Manana, I think let's throw the one we've spoken earlier with Mike regarding the women, how well they've done, but obviously the tournament gets more difficult now.
Besides difficult, Rob, is South African women will come up against an Italian side who has improved. February this year, they played in the Six Nations against a French team. They were annihilated 73-26, I think the final score. Last Saturday, they lost 24-0 to the French team. So they've managed to work on their work-ons in terms of as an Italian side. So they would go in as the favorite. Obviously, they're 8th ranked in the world. We're 12th ranked. We've got to play to our strength. One of the callers mentioned it, and quite rightfully so. We scrum well. We've got X-factor players in the women's team. It's just how Bafana and Swayze, Lorien and everyone in the team sort of prepare for the Italian game. A game we played in the WXV last year in Cape Town, we narrowly lost against an Italian side who finished stronger. But what I'm saying is we've just focused on our game. We win the Italians, we go through, Rob. Mm. The French team, I'm not saying we're not going to win them, but the French team are amongst the favorites in this World Cup. Remember, they top four in the world alongside Canada, England, and New Zealand.
Sure.
We've just got one aim, and one aim is one, is that we shoot down Italy on Sunday. We're through to the quarterfinals. That's all you require.
And then both of you guys are going to be back next week, Tuesday, to break it down from the top of the hour. The Room Dividers, guys, that's the first edition done and wrapped. Yeah.
How many editions left?
As many as you can even count, Mr. Manana.
Thank you.
If counting is still your thing, though, you're going to be counting the tries on Sunday. Yeah, we're going to be counting how many more shows you'll still have. Yeah, but listen, Mike Greenaway, independent media rugby writer and author of a book on Springbok history, The Fireside Springbok. An absolute pleasure. Good to have you. See you next week, Tuesday.
Lovely to be here.
And also Tando Manana, former SA Under-23, junior Bok and Springbok flank. Good to see you, sir. The original Room Divider. Spreading the word. See you next week.
Tuesday at 6.
Please take the right off-ramp this time, sir. You can tune in again next week,
I
Tuesday.
I don't like that comment. Right?
For Room Dividers on Marawa Sports Worldwide, probably
like
brought to
comment.
You by FNB.
A very silly comment.
On 947, Rise FM, Vuma FM, Soweto Live, and of course, Manana Live, when he does take the right direction next week. All right, so that being said, ladies and gentlemen, tune in again tomorrow on Marawa Sports Worldwide.
Hashtag MSW live on 947 Vuma FM, Rise FM, and Soweto Live at the same time. Hashtag MSW.